Hi, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to the Kelly Jo Show on Talk Jive Radio, a Dam Inden production distributed by the Institute for Native Arts and Media, a 501c3 nonprofit organization based in Norman, Oklahoma. The views and opinions expressed in this segment are those of the individual and do not necessarily reflect those of the INAM organization. We're in the crow's nest today. Dr. Kevin Crow is here with me to discuss the post-election in climate in Oklahoma. Dr. Crow,
what do you want me to start with, the federally and then go to the national elections and then do Oklahoma?
Okay, well, I don't know.
We've got time.
I'm so emotionally distraught.
I know which ones you'll feel better about, but anyway, but nevertheless, so I thought we.
I mean, Kevin Stitt and Ryan Walters, like those two. I mean, and you're a Republican. I mean, I'm sure you probably voted for at least one of those people. And I mean, I think they're setting our state back. And now I feel like the tribes have a real target on us because he's going to be vengeful towards us. That's how I see it.
I don't know. I mean, whether he'll be vengeful or not. I did predict on these that it would go this way. And again, not because I don't put blinders on the stuff. My thing was like I said last time, that with Hoffmeister, the stuff that she could have hit him with an Achilles heel, she had that as well. So I knew the turnout would not be as great for her as what was forecasted. And everything.
But turnout wasn't great across the board. I mean, there were less than 50%, less than half of registered voters here in Oklahoma that even showed. And I was very encouraged when, like, the first day of voting in Caddo County, I took my grandma to vote and she was, you know, like 219 on the first day. I was like, hey, this is going to be a great turnout here. I was about 200. And so, you know, as somebody who votes in every election, I know that 200 is about what decides this in a normal election.
Well, and I'd mentioned this when I haven't talked to you since then, but the day that I voted early the day of the election. And already, I mean, it was probably 40 minutes after the polling and there were almost 200 already. And that was really, and they even said it's the most they'd ever had. There was a huge line.
Yeah, I waited in line too.
But again, which is unusual for here because usually we don't have good turnout. But statewide, it doesn't surprise me that it's not a large turnout. Remember, it isn't off your election. I know everybody was focused on the governor one, but a lot of people just don't show up except for the four-year ones. It seems weird, but in Oklahoma, I mean, that's probably about right for an off-year election.
I think what's really sad is we did have a major turnout, but that really does reflect on our past elections when we've only got 30%.
That's
or
right.
Less than 30% of registered voters turning out in a midterm election. And I guess that's where my disappointment comes in, because I really expected to see really large numbers. But we just basically matched what we do in a regular election.
Well, I think one of the things that we'll have to watch for basically now, if you're looking at what the future holds in this state, is education will be one of their big issues for sure. Both common education, but basically, you know, kindergarten through 12, and then higher education as well. Having said that, like I said, that will take a lot of political will as well. And it's probably more, you can't tackle both of them in 4 years. That's a larger, you know, that's a little bit longer framework. And I think one of the things you probably see now is maybe what's heating up for the post-Stitt period. Because I've said this before, and again, this isn't a plus Stitt comment or a negative Stitt comment. It's just a fact. Stitt doesn't come from any faction in the Republican Party. Remember, he didn't vote that much before he ran.
He doesn't
have a core base in the Republican Party per se, at least a faction. So he's having to build that. And I think probably I'm wondering if Walters himself is the one that they're trying to groom to be the quote Stitt faction that will run after him. Having said that, it is obvious, and again, I'm not knocking this person, I'm not speaking in favor, I'm just making an observation. It is clear that our Lieutenant Governor, Matt Purnell, has been wants to be governor for sure. And so there is probably a race building, in 4 years right there over who will succeed Stitt. And that will be an interesting split right there, because Purnell does have some base in the state. He worked at the with the RNC forever, so he has a lot of out-of-state support too. So that will be an interesting battle, and that's something you have to, like I said, when you know that there's another faction waiting, that may temper what happens in the next 4 years with these policies. It may not. That may go for broke, but that's something that you'll see, I think, that will shape up. I'll mention another race that did not receive much statewide notice that I think potentially could be fairly significant. I want to say potentially because I'm not familiar completely with the background. I'll explain why I say it could be potentially, but then I'll also try to kind of, temper what I'm going to say on this. And that's going to be the DA election in Oklahoma County. And the reason I say that, I don't know much about Vicky Behenna, the one who won. But I will say this, I'm going to say something negative, and then I want to offset that with maybe another side of the story. My fear as a Republican, and I don't know that this part's true because I didn't look at that race that much, but we know nationwide there's been a move by Soros and other groups to win the DA ones, and we've seen that's not come out well in places like, whether you're looking at New York or Los Angeles, but also even smaller cities. I don't know if any of that money made it to her election. I want to stress this, okay? So, but if that is part of the reason for this victory, that would not be good news for Oklahoma County, obviously. I mean, if the crime rate goes way up, if there's quote bail reform or whatever they say. Now, having said that, I don't know that would be true because I didn't watch her before this. And I will say this, I mean, one of the things that did motivate her to get in the race, and this will be on her side, okay, this is a plus her instead of a negative. I'm hoping this part wins out, is, you know, her son was, had been, I guess, wrongly convicted of an unpremeditated murder in Iraq when he was a soldier. For killing a prisoner of war and everything. And he was sentenced to 25 years. And she petitioned and petitioned and petitioned. And ironically, what overturned his sentence was he was pardoned by Trump. So, you know, who knows? And when you look at that, maybe she's not one of these Soros candidates. I don't know. What I am saying is I want to watch what her policies in Oklahoma City are going to be, because if she is one of these Soros-funded candidates, that's not going to bode well for Oklahoma City or the state in general. Having said that, she may not be, because I've just given you a reason that, you know, it works both ways. Her son had been pardoned by Trump, so maybe she's not from that, you know, background. Yeah, but that's just what I would keep an eye on.
For one thing, that whole our crime rate is worse than New York, that has been fact-checked and fact-checked and fact-checked and fact-checked to death, and it is a fact. And if our crime rate gets much worse, it'll continue to be Governor Stitt's fault. Having said that, there was a lot of out-of-state money trying to Kevin Calvey ads, those pro ads, because you know me and my wonky self, I got to see who's paying for them. I got to, especially the ones that the candidates don't say, you know, I'm so-and-so and I approve this message, especially the ones that don't have that tagline. I'm always really curious to see where that money's coming from, right?
Yes, and I didn't keep
Kevin
up
Calvey,
in this race
Kevin
way.
Calvey had a lot of his pro ads were paid for by people from McLean, Virginia, and these different out of state you know, packs and super packs or whatever, because it's so there's a lot of that in the Republican Party too.
But on this one, I don't know if it's so much a pro-Calvi money or whether it was ones that were afraid of her. Does that make sense? I don't know. And the reason
they were pro-Calvi. I mean, they were. No, I
know,
like, that.
But what I mean is, I don't know what the motivation was for funding his, whether it was pro him or whether it was, if they're afraid that she may be one of the Soros people. And I want to stress this, I didn't look at her stuff, so I can't make that declaration. I'm just saying we need to watch that. I will say this, you're right on the crime, but I don't know that Oklahoma County's crime rate has gone through the roof. It's gone up. That's the one that it would affect. Does that make sense? In other words,
we're talking about two different things here, because we were talking about, you were talking about the crime rate earlier. The crime rate overall, but yeah, Oklahoma County, it's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be really interesting to see how she's able to address these different things. Now, one of the things that I do want to mention out of all of just governance anywhere, I don't care if you're talking about what level of government you're talking about, if you are a person who's coming into office, your half of your first term at least is going to be learning, and if there's things that are messed up, trying to, you know, address the emergencies. So are these candidates that are just coming into office, they don't really have a whole lot to do with what is going on, especially as brand new elected officials.
In general, that would be true. But for the DA one, if she was backed by Soros groups and stuff, and I don't know on this, it will become clear fairly quickly. In other words, they have a certain agenda already. Does that make sense? You know, getting rid of bail, things of this nature, not prosecuting crimes. Again, I'm not saying that she's one of them. I'm saying that's one I'll watch because I don't know.
Well,
but with that much money in the race, something was going on.
And cashless bail, we have to have a whole discussion on cashless bail, because I fall on the side.
Again, she can't do that by herself. She could do is choose what not to prosecute. Does that make sense? That would be the what to prosecute and what not to prosecute. Again, I'm holding back. I'm just saying that's one of them I'm going to watch, because it kind of, after the fact, it got my notice. But that was one I would be, that's one I'm concerned about. I'll just put it that way. And that may be wrong. Like I said, I mentioned one thing that made me think, like her son being pardoned by Trump. I mean, maybe she's not in that group. I don't know for sure. But that's one I'll watch.
Yeah, and I mean, it's really remarkable. Let's talk about straight ticket voting for a second.
Are you in favor of straight ticket voting? No. Do not believe in it.
Something we agree on.
Yeah, I mean, you should have to vote. You should have to look at every single person when you vote. I've never enjoyed that. No.
Okay, so and it drives me absolutely crazy. Because that just, for one thing, the lady at the Caddo County Election Board, thank you so much for explaining this to me, ma'am, by the way, because when I took my grandma in, she said, well, if you want to vote straight ticket, you can vote straight ticket. But if there's one that you want to change, you know, you just change that. And I was like, that just doesn't even sound like a trustworthy way to do it.
No, it's best just to go by each one. It doesn't take that much extra time. But I think you should read at least who's running. You know, I mean, you should, even if you don't know, you should at least read who's doing it. I mean, I'm not a person that believes in straight ticket voting at all.
They do post the sample ballots online, and they post them at the library. So, yes. I mean, and the election office and the county election boards. So there are ways to look at the ballot before you even go in to vote, which is what I personally do, because I have to read the language of all of the proposed bond issues and state questions. And because there's a real, sometimes the language is very confusing, even to the people who write that stuff.
Well, and the other one, you know, the other one that people never pay attention to that they should are when we can vote yes or no on judges. We don't get an option, but you can vote yes or no. And of course, I don't know that any of them have ever been voted down. People just go through and check. But that's another one people should really, really pay attention to quite a bit. And nobody does. Nobody does. Do you want to switch to the federal elections?
Let's go ahead and do it.
So I was not necessarily caught off guard.
Let's go ahead and torture me for the last.
No, I wasn't caught off guard as much on this one. I can explain some of these. I'm not one who thinks it's shenanigans, at least on this election, as much. If there is, I'm just saying if there is, I would watch Arizona. But I'm not going to say this about Pennsylvania and other states this time. And again, I think the things that the Republicans had going against them is, I think one thing is early voting, especially in places like Pennsylvania, because if you can vote for months on end, think of the percentage of votes that were cast before the debate in Pennsylvania. And then people may have seen that afterwards and thought, oh, crap, but it's too late. They've already cast their vote. So early voting is one thing that I think worked against Republicans in this go around. Again, that's not cheating. That's just the way the voting laws are. You have to understand the voting laws and figure out how to, you know, campaign effectively. But that's one thing. The other thing, though, is in this go around, in the Senate ones in particular, the Democrats have a huge. First of all, there were more Republican seats open. That's one. But the other thing is the Democrats in a lot of these states have a huge monetary advantage. If you look, for example, in Arizona, the setting senator there had 52 million right off the bat. So, but that's what you see in places. So there is a monetary advantage. The other thing, though, that I would say for the that stood for the Democrats and against the Republicans, the Democrats could hit their issues specifically hard. And even though we talked about last time when I said abortion's not on most people's radar, I said about 4%, but an election that close, and we saw how close they were, 4% could matter. Having said that, you know, Republicans had issues that they could overwhelmingly win on, for example, like border security. They win 80-20 on that. But in a lot of these races, they didn't bring that up. I mean, they didn't campaign on the issues that they could win on. They didn't. I mean, that's their fault right there by not doing that. The other thing that I would look at, and this goes back, especially with the Senate races, House, they did okay. In this cycle, the Republicans won the majority of votes overall. They had something like 52% in the House races, as opposed to the Democrats getting 46%. So, which is very good for the Republicans. Usually the Republicans win a plurality, but not a majority. But this doesn't translate in for the Senate races for the reasons that I've said. But there's another thing too, and that is Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell cost the Republicans Senate seats. There's no doubt in this, and I can give you an example of this. If you go back to 2010, when the Tea Party won, the Republicans won 63 seats that go around. Okay,
I remember.
But here's the thing: McConnell was still in charge of the Senate Reelection Committee. He did the same thing. He pulled money from about 10 races and put it in the people he liked. And they really didn't pick up very few, if any, Senate seats that year. That overwhelmed, which was a red wave, and they still didn't pick them up because, again, McConnell's more interested in holding his power in the party than he is being the majority leader. If you look, he did the same thing this time. So, for example, in the race with in Arizona, he gave zero money to Masters, the candidate. I mean, the Republican candidate didn't get any money from him at all, zero. If he would have had a few million, that could have changed the election. Not just that, if you look at the election in New Hampshire, which again started off close towards the end, he pulled 6 million from there. So where does he send this millions of dollars? Well, he spent 9 million in the Alaskan senatorial race, basically on ads attacking one Republican candidate in favor of a different one, keeping Mikulski in, basically. So he literally will spend more money defeating a regular, you know, another Republican over Democrats in the primary. In the general election, you can see that. He also did this in he played politics again in the primary, in the Republican primary in New Hampshire, where he spent money against the guy who actually got the nomination. So it already weakened him by the time the general election comes up. And this is a problem. McConnell has done this for way too long. It's time for him to go. I mean, he's cost not just this time the Republican could get the majority in the Senate, but actually in the past, in at least two other cycles, he's basically cost the Republicans a number of senators. And you can see this works, this is bipartisan. You saw this, for example, when Bernie Sanders was running against Hillary Clinton. I mean, in other words, the Democrats are quite capable of doing this too, taking a candidate and spending their money on who the party wants, as opposed to who the membership wants, and weakening somebody who could win. So in both parties, the leadership of both parties is much more concerned with maintaining its leadership than it is their party winning. But this time, it hurt the Republicans far more than it did the Democrats.
So let me ask you this, because I was going to ask you about all this. So let's just get into it. Who do you think, if it's not McConnell, who do you think should be the grand poobah of the GOP there in the Senate minority?
There's two questions: who I think it should be, but who I think has a shot. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah. So
on that
let's,
one,
let's have it.
I think some of the names that people want would not necessarily be able to win. It'd have to be a compromise. But whoever it is, McConnell's got to go. He's got to go. And I would even say if it was somebody like McConnell, and there's very few as bad as him, even that wouldn't be an improvement over McConnell, because there at least has to be demonstrated a person can be taken out. Because I cannot understand why he's been in there this long. I mean, it's insane. It's completely insane. And you can see how much money is spent when how he has to defend himself in Republican primaries in Kentucky, how much money has to pour in to do that. But McConnell is just, he's a drain on the system. And again, I still question his wife's ties with China and stuff. I mean, and his money too. I mean, remember his wife's family, you know, has a lot of money in shipping enterprises in China, and they have had to work with the Chinese government to get those benefits and stuff. So McConnell just has to go. He has to go. He's devastating to the Republican Party, and he's devastating to the country in general.
Yeah, but so did Trump. Trump benefited from Chinese, from being in office, and his daughter getting all those Chinese patents. Speaking of, with these
last few
minutes.
That's his daughter, but remember, China is still no friend of Trump. Does that make sense overall? Whereas you can demonstrate, if you look at the policies that they back, McConnell is. I mean, you can look at look at what Trump did with trade. He again definitely opposed the Chinese. McConnell doesn't.
Okay, so was one. With these last few minutes, I want to know, so I have two questions. These are two questions. Number one, what do you think about Trump announcing his 2024 candidacy? And two, do you think that his time, like McConnell's, is over as well?
It is going to be an interesting race. Here's the thing. You could look at Republican pollsters, but Trump has a lot. He has deep support, not necessarily wide, but he has deep support. And the other thing with Trump is, and again, if you gave me the choice between Trump and
Pence
and DeSantis, I know which one has the winnability. And if you ask me which one's policies I like, then I like both of them's policies and stuff. But the thing is this, whereas from me and most people, I think DeSantis is a better pick. We have to remember that a lot of Trump voters are not necessarily grassroots Republicans. They are Trump voters. Remember,
They're Trumplicans.
When Trump won, he won, and I think I'm right on this. I believe that 25% of the people that voted for Trump, you might have known, that voted for Obama. So he has a lot of people. He has a lot of people that are not Republicans that vote. Again, because again, the one thing I'll give Trump is this, and I do give him credit on this. He is the one person who at least would cater to American blue collar workers. I mean, he'll go out and campaign with them. I mean, you know, he'll go out and speak to them, whereas most people just bypass them. So he has strong support among a good percentage of the American public. I didn't say the majority, but still it's a good percentage and everything. So I would not count Trump out at winning the nomination, although from an outsider and from me, who's a Republican activist, it should be clear that DeSantis should be the presumptive nominee. I would not count Trump out, and he may still have the advantage over DeSantis in the primary elections. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. And then there's other people who will be
running. You don't think Mike Pence has a place there?
I don't think Mike Pence will be the nominee. And I'm not anti-Pence either. I want to stress this. But, you know, if you had the choice, if you were a grassroots Republican, if mm-hmm. you're one who wants to win, why vote for Pence over DeSantis? Does that make sense?
I realize DeSantis has the Trump plus kind of political savvy, right? DeSantis has that political savvy that Trump does not. And that Trump doesn't even care to have. Like, Trump doesn't care to play really the political game. DeSantis, he knows how to play it. He gets it.
DeSantis can also punch like Trump, but not do it in such a low class way.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
The thing is, and I've seen this, the people who were early supporters of Trump, some of the people that I know that were early supporters of Trump, okay, they were impressed by DeSantis when DeSantis sent the planes up to Martha's Vineyard. That type of move is something that impresses people. Now, I know you're not liking that, but I'm talking about Republican voters. I forget
we can see each other now.
But that's okay. But the thing is, but I think you can understand this, how that would appeal to Trump voters. I mean, he's able to do that, but it's not the same. It's not the same as, you know, coming up with derogatory names towards everybody who's running against you. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
And so DeSantis is a lot smarter in that respect. Here's the thing that we'll have to ask ourselves with Trump, and you have to look at motivation. And I'm going to give you a plus and a negative. I'm going to give you a negative possibility, and then I'm going to say a positive one. And I think a lot of how well Trump's going to do depends on which of these motivations wins out. He has an ego. There's no doubt. He'll admit that, okay? So is part of his running just to... a pissing contest? Is it basically, look, I'm going to show I can do this, you know, his pride? That's possible. That is certainly possible. The other possibility, which is tied in with that, but it's not quite the same, is, does he feel bad about letting down his supporters, you know, the people who loved him? And does he want to win because he felt like he let them down? Now, both of those are ego-driven, but they're not quite the same. And I think which one of those motivations wins over Trump, which one drives him, is going to also ultimately decide how well Trump does in the primary and the general election. If it's the latter, he could win the primary and he might win the general election if it's the latter. If it's the former, if it's just a matter of just ego, period, he's doomed. But again, Trump's a complicated guy, and I can see him being just as big on wanting to make sure not to let down the people who put him in there in the first place. I mean, he does have, we've seen how he has this, he's big on loyalty for somebody even halfway disagrees with him, he jumps on him, but he's off, that works the other way too. And so I'm curious to see which one's going to win out in his personality.
If it were me and I were a grassroots Republican, and I think my pick would be Pence. And it would be because he served as vice president. But I know that what
I'm
works against Pence,
what
works against
this.
Pence is one of the reasons why I would say yes, Pence, is because he's a constitutional Republican. He's an old school constitutional conservative. Well, whatever you say about Mike Pence, he is that very professional, very stoic, very straight laced, very family oriented.
And that's the
very
other thing too.
Old
if you can
GOP.
Look at the chaotic environment that we've had for a long time now. And again, this is going on with the Biden administration. People are tired. They're tired of, you know, crazy stuff going on.
Didn't have anything to do with that.
Well, but the one thing is Pence would reassure people. Does that make sense?
In Absolutely. Other words,
and so if it were a general election, if Pence got the nomination, if he was the nominee, he would win. There's no doubt in my mind. But I think that's also true with DeSantis. But I think DeSantis has a better shot in the primary.
That's something that we're definitely going to look at. Okay, thank you so much, Dr. Crow. I appreciate it.
I will mention one thing else. The Republicans and Democrats have opposite problems going into this next cycle. The Republicans have a very deep pool of candidates. The Democrats have a shallow pool. I mean, there's very few, if you look at their number ones
that
can go. But I mean, again, Biden, anybody in Biden's administration, even some of the governors, there's a lot less to work with.
I still want Bernie.
But he's,
I still
how old
want
is he?
Bernie.
By the way,
so
I think Bernie's
stop
mentally
asking
capable.
People stop asking me.
Even though Bernie's older than Biden, he's mentally capable. I mean, I don't agree with him, but the fact is, I'm not knocking his mental capabilities. He's certainly able.
And there's something else we can agree on. Okay, thank you so much, Dr. Crow, and thank you so much for tuning in to the Kelly Joe Show on Talk Jive Radio, a Damned in production, distributed by the Institute for Native Arts and Media. The views and opinions expressed in this segment are those of the individual and do not necessarily reflect those of the INAM organization. For more information or to donate, email nativeartsandmediainstitute@gmail.com. You can always catch past episodes of all shows wherever you get your podcast. Thank you so much for your support.
Thank you.